Fill in the bucket. Let me go get some stuff here. I'm gonna walk off stage. What do you think about that? When's the last time you seen a preacher walk off stage? When's the last time you seen that? I'm gonna do it today. Does anybody in this building, anybody, have something that they're struggling with in the faith? Right? Everybody does. I do. Everybody has something that we're struggling with. And we see all these Bible lessons all the time saying, we got to do this and fix this. We got to pray. We got to get rid of all these things, and we got to focus on Christ. And that's a very, very, very real thing to do. We should do that. Let me give you something that Jim told me here. He says, imagine you have a bucket. See this bucket here? It's not a perfect bucket. I got it out of the garage before I came here. But it's a nice little bucket. And imagine this bucket was filled with some water. This water is not perfect. It's just Costco water, but this water is clean. You can drink it. It's not going to hurt anything. It's just water, right? And you're carrying around this bucket all the time, and this is just so nice. You're looking at it. It's like, man, I got this nice water in here. Why would you do anything to this water? It's perfect. You can drink from it. It could, you know, if you're stuck on an island somewhere, Gilligan's Island maybe, you can drink this water, right? Just good water. But what if you got this perfectly good water there and you get some icky stuff? What is this? Oh, man. You take this and you pour it in there. Ugh. Oh, that smells bad. And then you got this stuff. I don't even know what's floating around in there, but you see that? You got all this stuff. I'm going crazy. I'm pouring all this stuff in this bucket. I had clean water in there. I should have left it alone, but I got all this dirty stuff, so I'm going to pour this stuff in there. It's like, man, I had all this good stuff. Look at this. I don't know what this is. Oh, it's clumpy. Ugh. I'm going to pour that in here, too. Remember, I had a clean bucket with water in it. It was just perfectly fine, and I'm pouring all this stuff in here. Why would I do that? Now I'm walking around with this, and this smells bad. I'm going to give it to you here in a second. It smells bad. The point here is, what if I come to my senses and I say, I don't need to be putting all this bad stuff in this bucket. I don't need to be walking around with the bucket with all this nasty stuff in it. I need to stop myself from putting the stuff in here. I'm the one who's pouring the stuff in the bucket. Nobody's making me put anything in the bucket. I'm doing it. So I need to stop this. And you say, what? You know what? I'm going to stop. Not putting nothing else in the bucket. I'm going to sit my bucket down. And there it is. And you say, you know what? I've changed. I'm not going to put dirty stuff in the bucket anymore. You go along rejoicing and being happy. And this is what I did for a long time. But what do I still have sitting there? A bucket full of dirty water. You know, as Christians, sometimes we read the scriptures and we say we have to do this and we have to read and we have to, you know, focus on Christ. We have to make sure that we do everything we possibly can to live what Christ told us to do. And we do that. We believe when we get in the water like a Torah did here last week. We believe. We come up out of the water and we're saying, you know what? I am so thankful that God washed away my sins. But guess what? We still have a bucket full of dirty habits, bucket full of dirty places that we used to go, things that we used to do, and it's still sitting in our bucket. Now, Christ says, I'll take this bucket the way that it is. My blood will just completely cover all of this for you because that's who I am. I'm powerful enough to do that. Even though all that stuff is in there, I'm Christ Jesus. I can take all of these things, and I'll take it just the way that it is, but we still have a responsibility over time that we need to clean our bucket. And sometimes we just let our bucket sit there, and it's like, oh, well, I'm a Christian now. But we still have a dirty bucket. That's what we're going to talk about today. We got to replace those things. We can't just let that stuff sit in there. Eventually, we got to get it out and put in the things that Christ wants us to put in there. Our fellowship, our love, our studying, and all those things. That's what we'll talk about. What is our bucket? Our bucket is our spiritual self. Genesis 1:27 there. It says, God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Our bucket is ourselves, our spiritual selves, our habits, our tendencies. Everything that we do on a daily basis, that's our bucket. And let me tell you something. Our bucket is important. God has told us this. We only have one. We don't get to go back and redo this. We don't get to just, you know, take that bucket and start completely. Oh, we only got one bucket there. Our bucket was polluted. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, do not be deceived, neither idolaters and homosexuals and all these things. And it listed all of them. And then verse 11 says something that's really important. It says, and such were some of you. You were like that too. Paul says, don't think that you were just perfect. You've always been perfect. Don't think that you've always been in this good state. He said, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. He says that. He lets us know that we were in this state of just having everything bad. What were we polluted with? What was it? What was in our bucket? You know, you're seeing all those nasty things I was putting in there. What was in our bucket? Our pleasures and habits was one thing. What we wanted to do, what we walk around doing. See, like I said, nobody made me put the bad things in the bucket. I did it on my own. Nobody's making us walk around and do things in our life that's contrary to God's will. We're doing that on our own. Nobody's saying, you know what, you got to do this. I'm telling you, we got to come to this realization that what we're doing to ourselves. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. It says in James, his own lust. Nobody's saying, you know what, you messed that up. No, it comes because we're doing it on our own. Romans 7:5, for while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Not only is this bucket bad, not only does it have a whole bunch of bad things in it, this concoction is deadly. It bears a spiritual death. Got to remember that. All of these things that we're putting in our bucket, it's bearing some bad things. It's not like it's going to give us life that Christ is saying. The things that we put in our bucket is going to give us death. Even though we want to do it, it's going to give us death. And that's what the Bible teaches over and over again, that we're doing this to ourselves. We satisfied our own desires. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Well, you see this all over the Bible. I'm going to preach a lesson next week called Who's to Blame? We're blaming everybody else for what's going on. But remember, God gave us our spiritual selves. He entrusted our spiritual selves to us. And who's messing it up? Us. If it's messed up, it's not because of anybody else. It's because we decided to do that. It's really important to remember that. It's really important to take some ownership with that. And on top of that, we didn't know God. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household. Then you are no longer strangers, it says there at the beginning. So what does that mean? We were strangers. We didn't know who he was. We was out there in a different category. Our bucket was messed up. Our spiritual selves was messed up. You want to know something good? Christ wants us to replace all of this stuff. And then he gives us the tools to do so. He doesn't just say replace it and then get better. You know what? Replace it, move on. This is my commandment. Done. He didn't do that. He says, I want you to replace it, and this is what I want you to replace it with. We got bad habits, I'm telling you. I've come up out of the water just like a lot of you have been baptized, and you come up and you're like, woo, I'm a Christian now. What do I do? But then I remember specifically when I came out of the water, it was 2 days later, I was like, I'm a Christian, but does that mean I can't go to the bar? Oh, we'll study about that later. And off I went. That's real experience the way that it is. Not making it up. That's just the way that it was. And all of those things have to be replaced. What happens if that sits there? We're talking about this bucket. What happens if I just let this bucket sit here over time with all this nasty stuff in it? It's not going to stay the same. It's going to get worse. It's going to get moldy and mildew. It's going to start to sour, and you're going to be able to smell it when you walk in this church. If we don't deal with this, it's just going to get worse. It's the same thing with our souls. We got to deal with it. We got to eliminate those things, because if not, it's going to get worse. Let's read Philippians 3:7-8. If you don't mind, let's turn there. Philippians 3:7-8. Let's read that. Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8. I don't like these thin pages in the Bible. I need to work on that. Verse 3, Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, these things I've counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So he gave us a hint right there. He says everything in there, get rid of it. Just throw it away. You need to count it as a loss for Christ. I know we read these passages all the time, and I know it's like, we got it, we got it, we got it. But with God's word, it's so powerful that we need to realize, I need to realize, I'm not just saying this for the benefit of you, I'm saying it for the benefit of me. We need to really meditate on these things and figure out, how can I make it work in my life? You know, he's telling us to get rid of all these things. Now, how do I go about doing that? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Just don't read it and say, oh, I need to get rid of these things, and I count it as rubbish. Some translations say dung. I need to really get rid of it. Old habits versus new habits. That's a big one, right? Come out of the water, we have all these habits that we would do all the time. I know I did. I know my wife did. Bad habits. We didn't want to go to worship. We didn't want to fellowship. We didn't even know what fellowship was. We didn't want to sit at home and study. We didn't want to do any of those things. We just wanted to satisfy what we wanted to do. And I keep saying this, we do this to ourselves. When we go out and do something that's contrary to God's word, it's because we decided to do that. We got to take ownership with that, like I said before, so we can get better. We got to understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men. And then it says, make the best of your times. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's where we have to get to the point. We got to understand, what does God want me to put in my bucket, my spiritual bucket? What does he want me to put in there? Does he want me to put in just some random stuff, or has he listed some specific things that he wants to go in our spiritual buckets? That's what studying and getting all these things down means. So you'll clearly understand what I have to do to go in there. Again, I keep saying Jesus the Christ wants us to replace these things. He's saying that I am worthy to make all of this go away. I'll take the bucket as it is because I'm the Christ. I can do it, but I don't want you to live like that. Continue in sin? Certainly not, Paul says. You got to get better. I have to get better. We got to replace all this stuff so that we can live a life that's worthy of the calling of Christ. Amen? We have to do it. There's no alternative to just keep it like it is. And if you were to smell this bucket, you'd be like, Buck, you need to get rid of this. It smells bad now. I'll just pass it around. No, I'm not going to pass it around. But seriously, though, it's a valid point worth making. We can't just let it sit there. We have to deal with it. We have to replace it, and we have to replace it with good things. Not my definition of good, and not your definition of good. My definition of good may mean something totally different than God's will. We just talked about that Ephesians 5, they understand what the will of the Lord is. Your definition of good may not match up to what's in here. I'm talking about this definition of what is good. See, your definition of good may go in that bucket the way that it sits right now. Your definition of good may be polluted and may have some things that's wrong with it. God's definition of good is truly good because he's God. Replace it with fellowship is a good thing. Acts 2 and 46, it says, day by day, continue with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Fellowship is a good thing. You want to replace some things? Fellowship is a great thing. Hanging out with the brothers and sisters in Christ is a great thing. You know, on Friday nights, I used to get an itch. Saturday nights, I would get an itch. I was a sailor. We partied. That's what we did. And every Friday night, when I became a Christian, I was just like, man, what am I going to do? And one of my brothers says to me, you know what, Buck? Is that your struggle? I'm like, yeah, that's my struggle. Well, he knew that struggle because I confessed it to him so that he can help me. That's James chapter 5. We'll talk about that later. But he knew my struggle, and he said, you know what? Every Friday night, we're going to get together. And I was like, ugh. Are you serious? Every Friday night, I have to hang out with you. And we did that for a while. But guess what? After a while, I didn't need to hang out with him anymore because that was my new habit. Not going to a bar was my, just that seemed weird after a while. After a while, hanging out with this brother just was the natural thing to do. And we grew so much because of that. We learned so much. I learned about him. He learned about me. And again, in the James there, it tells us we have to confess our sins to our brethren. So the prayers of the righteous will help us out. We gotta really believe that. We gotta really be able to say to each other, brother, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Do you have any experience in this? I'm telling you, every one of us is sitting in our seats this morning with something that we have dealt with and gotten over. And then somebody else in this congregation is dealing with that same thing, but they hadn't gotten over it. They need some help. And what we do is we keep everything to ourselves. We don't get together at each other's houses. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to walk up to you here on Sunday morning and say, let me tell you, I'm struggling with this. This is Sunday morning. I got on my suit. I can't say that in my suit. But you come to my house, I come to your house, then I might say, you know what, man, I'm really hurting with this. Another thing we can do to replace it is studying. Every lesson, I'm going to say we need to study. So just know that if you hear Buck up here, I'm going to say we need to study. Because guess what? We need to study. You know, I have grown so much just by taking the time to pick up the Bible and read it. Not just read it just for the sake of I'm trying to get through the whole Bible in a year. I tried that. And I went through the whole Bible in a year, and I couldn't even tell you the books of the Bible after I got done. I had forgot half the stuff in the Old Testament. But to really study and to really understand what the will of the Lord is, as Ephesians 5 says, that's a totally different thing. So we got to get past human solutions. We got to have godly solutions, right? We have problems, but our problems are spiritual. Our problems are things that are going to stop us from getting to the goal. And if we just try to treat it like it's something that we can fix on our own, we're doomed. We can't fix it. If we would have fixed it, we would have never got in this situation in the first place. Realize that. If we would have been able to just stop this sin thing, we would have never been a sinful person like we were. So we have to realize that it's going to take something outside of us to fix this. And it's not going to be the way that we want to do things. It's going to be God's way. And you want to know the crazy part about God's way? We have God's way, and we know what it is. We know that it's supposed to be this way. But then we put that on the corner of my way, and then it's like, I'm a little confused on which way to go here. I got God's way saying go this way, and I got my way saying going this way. What am I supposed to do here? What did Paul say in Philippians? You just take your way and you count it as dung and get rid of it. Get rid of it is what he's saying to do. So, you want to know what we do a lot of times as Christians? I know I did it. Came out of the water and I pledged, I am just going to stop this behavior. Just stop it. I'm going to pledge to myself, I will not go to this place again. I'm going to stop. Right here to now, I'm going to stop it. And that's what I did. I stopped it. That didn't turn out very well. When you just stop something and don't have something to replace it to fill that void, that doesn't turn out very well, church. I'm telling you from experience. I'm not saying it just because I think. I'm telling you, I know this from personal experience. If you just say, I got this bad behavior, and then you say, I'm going to stop it, and then you do stop it, that may last for a week, 2 weeks, but then when it comes back, it's going to come back with a vengeance. We'll talk about that because Jesus actually said that. What about addiction? Addiction to a whole bunch of things, to drugs and alcohol and whatever else there is out there, all this bad things. There's a whole bunch of things we can be addicted to. We put things in certain categories like it's only drugs, it's only alcohol. No, anything that is contrary to God's will that we can't let go is an addiction that we need to deal with. Just realize that. It doesn't have to be something that we typically think of as an addiction. All these addictions, there's a bunch of them out there. And if we just say, well, I'm going to stop, I'm going to make this pledge, we could be in bad shape. You know, how many times does the new year start? We come in and we say, hey, 2019, woo, we have a party, get together, and everything's great. And then come January, it's like, man, see, for me, it's food. I'll say that in January, you know, December 31st, I am not going to eat Cheetos before bed again. I'm not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Here comes the second week in January. Those Cheetos look mighty good on the shelf. And before I know it, I got the Cheeto fingers. And I'm looking like, what have I done to myself? See, I did that to myself. Nobody made me eat those Cheetos. It's the same thing with sin. Making this pledge. I should have replaced it and said, you know what? I'm going to put some apples and oranges. That probably wouldn't work either. But I'm going to put some apples and oranges on my nightstand instead of Cheetos and see if that works. But the point here is, I probably wouldn't go down the stairs and get those Cheetos if I had apple and orange sitting there on my nightstand. I'd probably just reach over and say, you know what? I'll eat this apple because I don't want to get out of bed. If I got another alternative sitting there in my face, I'll probably use it. Especially if I've committed myself to doing so. You got to commit first and then help yourself out. What about family and friends? We got people that are doing us a whole bunch of bad out there, right? Who are doing negative things. Peer pressure is only for folks in school age, right? No, it's not. Peer pressure is a real thing. On our jobs, where we go, on TV, we're looking at things. It's really a bad thing. And what about it? We just say, you know what, I'm not going to visit that person anymore. We just stop. Well, you better have somebody else to go visit, or you better have somebody else to go do, because if not, it's going to come back. It's going to come back bad. I'm going to say it over and over again. Christ calls us to replace these things that we have with something that's whole and something that's right and something that is good in the eyes of the Lord. I told you, going to bars, I was a sailor, and that's what we did. And until that Friday night where I had to sit with this man every Friday night, it was a stronghold. As a new Christian, I just didn't know what to do. But now I'm telling you that through Christ, doing what Christ told me to do, and the help of my brethren and prayers of the righteous, I don't have that problem. I don't want to go sit in the bar on Friday night. I used to, but I don't have that. I just don't. After sitting with this man for 2 months, I'm going to tell you, I didn't want to do anything on Friday nights except for go home. The point here is, realistically, taking these words that are in this Bible and not just saying, oh, well, you know, this is a good verse to remember. This is something that I need to have. The point here is, we need to take these words and adopt them in our lives as the truth. The Bible says that I will be better if I confess my sins and get the prayers of the church to help me. Then that needs to be the truth. It can't be that I doubt it. It can't be that I think that it's going to be embarrassing. It can't be any of those things. It needs to be the Bible says this, and so shall I will do. Because if we just do all those things, we got a dirty bucket. That bucket actually doesn't even compare to that one. That one's really bad. And you know, if we do, you know, just stop all these things, we could be in a bad place, right? With other struggles that I've had in my life, I just committed to stop. And before I knew it, I felt like I was just all alone. I felt like I didn't have any help. And all of these brothers and sisters around me who were completely oblivious to my problem were sitting there saying, well, if I would have known, I wouldn't have him sitting there by himself. I wouldn't have him, you know, feeling like that. See, when you just stop something and you don't have something to replace it, you could be vulnerable, really vulnerable. That's not a good thing to be. The good thing to be is to do exactly what Christ Jesus said, the master. He's the one who came down here and conquered sin, not us. He was with the disciples all the time. He did these things. I'm not saying that he was, you know, going to go out and sin or something, because Christ Jesus was perfect. But my point here is, we can learn from him. Let's read Matthew 12. I'd like for you to open your Bibles and read Matthew 12 with me, if you don't mind. Matthew 12, verse 43 through 46. Really important to read. Matthew 12, 43 through 46. Still here, pages. I'll wait just a second. Matthew 12, 43 through 46. New King James Version I'm reading. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Christ Jesus is issuing a warning. We can't just leave our house empty. We have to make sure that we filled it with good things. We can't do it. I know it seems like that's the right thing to do. I need to just stop it and then, you know, go on about my day. No, that is not going to work. I'm telling you from experience. You want to deal with sin? Replace it with godly things. Don't just leave it sitting there. Christ wants us to replace. We read Philippians 4 and 8, and that's a whole list. He tells there whatever's good. I mean, he goes through this whole list. Meditate on those things. Don't go back to the old. Meditate on those things. That'll work out real good for you. 2 Timothy 3 and 15, I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which was in Christ Jesus. Wise for salvation. See, you read this, it's like, you know what? I'm going to be wise. I'm not going to put all this bad stuff in my bucket. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to get rid of this stuff, and I'm going to put in the godly things that he told me to do. We can be around our brothers and sisters that have like minds. We don't have to be around people. We should not want to be around people, as a matter of fact, that are doing things that are contrary to what the gospel says. We should want to be around our brothers and sisters. I mean, like, really want to. That was a wrong attitude I had as a new Christian. I look back on it now and I was like, how selfish was I to you know, feel some kind of way because a brother in Christ said, I want to help you in your time of need. And I'm like, oh, well, why do I got to go hang out with him? That is selfish. This brother in Christ stopped what he was doing to help me. I should have wanted and longed to be with him. Do we long to be with each other as Christians here at Kent? That's the question. We need to long to be with each other. Take example from Paul and everything that he did. We need to depend on each other. I was talking about that. James 5 and 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. It says that it is. Really powerful. Got to have biblical habits. Got to have biblical habits, church. Look at this bucket. How nasty it is. We're sitting here with it. Look, it's nasty. When you pour it out, all that bad stuff, all that yucky stuff just needs to be poured completely out. Done with, dealt with, get rid of it. And then take the good stuff that Christ gave us and said, you know what? I'm going to fill up my bucket with this. But you know what? Christ didn't say just fill it up. He says, now you got this good stuff in it, you need to guard it. Put a lid on top of it. And don't even let you yourself put something else in that bucket. Don't trust yourself. Don't let you yourself put something in this bucket. You definitely don't let the world, you definitely don't let all the things that are going on out there, but you put a lid on it, and the only somebody that can put something in this bucket is me, because I'm Christ Jesus. That's what he's telling us. You got to believe it. I believe it. I want us to understand we got good things that we can do here. Biblical habits. You can study the Bible on a schedule. You know, we set schedules for everything else. We got these iPhones, and we're setting all these schedules and saying, oh, well, you know, I got to set a schedule to go here. I got to set a schedule to do this. Why not set a schedule to say, you know, I'm going to take an hour out of my day and I'm going to stop everything else. I'm going to turn the phone off and I'm going to pick up this passage and I'm going to learn what thus says the Lord. I'm not just going to read it just because I'm supposed to be reading it. I'm going to actually study this passage. We're having a congregational class on that at the end of this month here about how to study, how to do that. We'll go over that. But we're going to actually study this passage so that we can learn. That'd be a good thing to do. Set a schedule to do that. What about praying? How many times we just throughout the day just stop what we're doing and say, I'm going to pray to God and appreciate everything that he's done for me. I'm going to pray for my brother and things that I don't even know what they're struggling with. I'm going to pray for them. Those are things that need to be in the bucket and put a lid on it. won't have to worry about it. What about growing to maturity? Hebrews 5 and 12 there. By now, some of you ought to be teachers. That's some good things that we need to do. Me included. I got a whole bunch of growing I need to do. Don't think because I'm standing up here doing this lesson that I got everything figured out, because I don't, because I'm a man. I got a whole bunch of things to figure out. What about bringing others to Christ? Have we devoted some time to that? Those are things that are in the bucket that Christ told us to do, that we put the lid on, let nobody bother it. Those are things that he told us to do that we should put in there. See that clean water in there with that lid on, and nobody can get in it. Just keep it there like that, clean and pure, just like Christ told us to do. It's been fun today. Truth be told, I've always wanted to use a prop, and I got to do it, so pretty happy about that. Church, I'm going to say this before I go. That it's not easy to do what God tells us to do all the time. He never said it was going to be easy. When you look at a passage like Matthew 16 and 24 there, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, that's telling you that you're going to have some burdens to bear. It's going to be heavy sometimes. I mean, for real heavy. If you know, some of these things that we have to deal with, that we have in our bucket there, are not going to be easy to stop, let alone easy to replace. It is going to hurt. I can tell you from experience, if some of the sin that we have in our lives that we're trying to get rid of, if it does not just make you just want to ball up because you're trying to get rid of it, then maybe you're in a better state than me. But some of the things I've had to deal with, I literally just want to ball up and say, why does this hurt so bad to get rid of? But then time goes on, and I realize that it was all for my good. I got a clean bucket, because Christ has given that to me. If you're here and you're a Christian, let's be thankful for that, that Christ gave us all the tools to do that. And if your bucket is, you started to put some bad stuff in your bucket, you started to put some things in your bucket that are not cool, some things in your bucket that are just like, ugh, why did I do that? If you started to do that, I'm just cleaning up, don't pay attention to me. If you started to do that, then stop it. Because one day, the bucket's going to be closed, and there's going to be no altering this bucket. God is going to seal all of this up, and the fate is going to be done. But if you're not a Christian, let's work on this. Let's do what the Bible says so that God can give you the tools and show you what you need to do to clean your bucket, to make your waters pure. Because he's willing and able. As a matter of fact, he's standing at the door practically begging, saying, just come to me. And I'll give you rest. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing the song.